Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to the multifamily industry. I'm your host, Paul Marks, and we have a great show today with wonderful guests who are experts on today's topic. And today we are going to discuss the topic of understanding current multifamily trends. Joining me in the studio is longtime multifamily industry veteran Stephanie Graves, co-founder and CEO of Q10 Property Advisors, and Mindy Price, Vice President of Sales with J. Turner Research. Thank you, ladies, for joining me today.
Good morning. Hi.
Hey, good morning.
So, understanding current multifamily trends, Stephanie, I'll throw it to you. There's all kinds of research and data that comes out throughout the year, every year. All the conferences and the seminars and stuff that people put on, it's discussed. What do you see right now as some of the trends to kind of pay attention to in multifamily?
Yeah, everyone says that they know it, but who knows it best? We've got data, right? J. Turner Research asks you, and you guys provide the data. So I'm so happy to have Mindy here to kind of talk a little bit about what we're seeing in the industry. So I think from several things that we're seeing as the demographics change and as the renter gets younger and older, right? So we have different generations too that we'll talk about today. But I think the biggest trend that we're seeing, certainly in new multifamily development, is our renters want options and upgrades. Mm-hmm. It's no longer a plug-and-play situation where we just say, okay, we're going to build it and they will come. You know, there are so many options and there's so much information that's available to people that they want to be able to choose that living experience and be able to pick the options that they want to pay for. They don't want to pay for what they don't want to pay for. And they want to be able to select their living experience. And so I think a lot of the data that that Mindy brought to us today kind of supports that theory of, you know, what are they looking for in terms of those options?
You got some examples that you can share?
Well, absolutely. And thinking about wanting choices. So when we did a study, so this study is called The Next Gen that we just released in December. And a few years back, we did this study and it was the most downloaded research report that we had ever done. Mm. So we thought we need to do this again. And at that time, when we did the study in the past, Gen Z didn't exist as a renter, mm-hmm. right? But now they do. And so when we looked at the responses, 23% of the responses that we received on this study were from the Gen Z. And it was really neat to watch them or actually look at their data and sit around the table and see what they were saying. You know, we're really big in the student housing industry as well as in the conventional housing industry. But, you know, students are used to having somewhat of a bit of help financially from their parents or from some type of aid for their rent. Mm-hmm. And when we asked them, you know, what's the average rent you're paying, they said on average it's about $1,079. Big jump from the average that their portion was, and I don't know the exact number, but $386, which sounds pretty specific. Mm-hmm. That number's jumping out at me, but it was less than $400 that was their portion of the rent that they were paying. And so looking at the fact that they're going to jump into over $1,000 per month, you would think that they would just be happy with what they get, but that's not the case. They actually want choices, and they were willing to pay the largest amount for the different upgrades that we did on this study. And the study that I'm talking about now is the 2019 Next Gen study. They can download it at our website at jturnerresearch.com. And we went through multiple amenities and different upgrade and design choices. And in almost every single category, they were willing to pay more, which clearly they could not go in and pay for every single upgrade. It mm-hmm. would be way too out of their price range more than likely, unless they're coming out of school making a couple hundred thousand dollars $1,000 a year, mm-hmm. which for most of the Gen Zs probably isn't the case. But they definitely want choices. They want the ability to say, this is what I want. And I think that goes back to how these kiddos, you know, as we're getting older now, have been raised. They just are used to choices. They're not used to having a box and being confined to it. They're very used to scribbling outside the lines. So as we talk a little bit more about the data today, you'll see that they were the ones saying, yes, I want this upgrade. I would prefer these different amenities.
Interesting. I think, you know, from an option standpoint, you know, they want options. They want to pick out what their living experience looks like. And then I also saw some information, and we're seeing this on the multifamily arena, both in garden style and high rise, is the option for shared transportation. And electric vehicles has been a real driver for us. I mean, we have people specifically call and say, do you have electric charging stations? And can I pay to have one installed? Or what does it look, is there a place that I can have that installed? Where is the nearest one? And so as developers and as even, you know, as people going in and doing renovations on older communities, I think that's something that we haven't necessarily played with enough, and it needs to be considered. I mean, certainly on a smaller scale, right? We're still a gas-guzzling city, but more and more people are adapting and finding ways to have a greener footprint. And I think shared vehicles, so having easy accessibility and easy identification to have shared transportation and finding a way to accommodate that electric vehicles are going to be something in the future that we're going to see. And I think it's in the near future. I think, you know, in the next year to 2 years, it's going to become more and more important.
Yeah, and that was actually one of the questions we asked on this study. You know, what about shared transport? What's your opinion on it? Do you use it? And in this particular case, the millennials, which I'm not surprised by this, it was the millennials that said they were more likely to use shared transport, followed by Gen Z. And when we were thinking about this in design preferences, just an idea that we threw out there, because shared transportation has become so popular. I don't know about you, Stephanie, but as much as I travel, I can't stand walking to Uber or Lyft in those long hallways in the dark parts of the airport and where parking is. And I really like it when it's much more convenient for me.
Yeah.
So as a designer, I would think that actually building a space that is for shared transportation, so it makes it easy for the residents to go and meet their Uber, meet their Lyft, and it's specifically set for that if they're not on some type of bus or train area, that is something that I would definitely look into.
Mindy, can you, just for the sake of our listeners who may or may not be as familiar, can you kind of define what the differences are as far as age groups with the Gen Z and the millennials and so forth? What, you know, what ages is everybody falling into?
Absolutely. And let me look this up as we're talking, just because when we had to think of that, right? So some of these Gen Z still are not in the apartments yet. And so let me pull this up because I don't want to misquote, because there are a few differences. And so we define that for this particular study. And if you give me just a second.
And while you're doing that, I have a question for Stephanie.
Sure.
Stephanie, when you're talking, when you're getting these inquiries about your charging stations and so forth, are you looking at that, or is the owners looking at that option as a revenue generator? Is it something that they're going to charge?
So I think what we're seeing is many developers think they're going to charge for it.
Yeah.
And then they realize that it's really not an option, because in the competitive area that we're in, the new construction, the brand new luxury apartments, the brand new high rises are offering as an option. And so to compete on a smaller level, or to compete in the, you know, I would say B+ range where you're upgrading, which is kind of where we our bread and butter is kind of value add upgrades, is where we're seeing that it's not an option to charge. So it's just an expense that you have to put in the bottom line. Like, you just have to expect that you're going to need that, and that you're going, it's not a want, it's a need in some instances.
Okay.
Yeah. So it kind of reclassifies what that looks like.
So I found it.
Okay.
Thanks for your patience, you guys. All right. So Gen Z, for this study, it was 18 to 24. Now, clearly, the Gen Zers are much younger than that as well, but they weren't renters. They weren't able to participate in the study. So 18 to 24 was Gen Z. Millennials, 25 to 39. Gen X, 40 to 54. Quite clearly the best generation of them all. Our baby boomers, 55 to 75. And then the silent generation, we actually had the silent generation here at over 75.
Yeah.
So, and one thing that really stood out to me, there's so much great data in here, but we also asked about health and wellness preferences, and across all generations, the fully equipped gym, you guys, it's not going away. And I wanted to bring that up today for those that are listening, because there is this rumor that's going around, and depending on what state I'm in and where we're bringing up this information, I'll ask to everyone to show their hands, you know, where is the fully equipped gym going away? And depending on where I'm at, they'll raise their hand and say, we're not seeing it wanted anymore. But it's definitely something every generation wants. They do, as we get older, as we age, you'll notice that the older generation, the boomers and the silent generation, they lean more towards the wellness classes than more, and your yoga classes than your more aerobic type classes mm-hmm. that they're looking for. But they all want that fully equipped gym
mm-hmm. okay. as an option, even though one in five use it, right?
So. Right, exactly.
It's amazing how open my gym is when I've got 300 people and one of them's using it during the day. So I think there was a shift maybe 5 years ago to changing things to workout rooms rather than fully equipped gyms. You know, the fitness on demand, you have options. You've got the Peloton
that
now,
thing.
Right? So mm-hmm. all of those are kind of options that we're seeing in trends in multifamily.
All right. Well, we are going to take a break and come back with our next segment of Multifamily Matters right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Well, we are back and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and we are discussing the topic of understanding current multifamily trends. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me in the studio is longtime multifamily industry veteran Stephanie Graves, co-founder and CEO of Q10 Property Advisors, and Mindy Price, Vice President of Sales with J. Turner Research. Before we jump back in the conversation, I do want to remind our listeners that if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or just listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So, Stephanie, talking about trends in amenities and so forth in the first segment, what about the trends or the current trends that are out there as far as resident engagement and what are residents looking for as far as creating a sense of community on a property?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't too long ago that many of the surveys that we were seeing were saying that Community engagement and social interaction was really a high priority for renters. They wanted social interaction. They wanted a sense of community. That was a reason why they were choosing their apartment community. And so, you know, I think we all kind of went, oh, great, they want social interactions and community involvement. Let's try to make that happen. And I think that still is a trend. You know, more and more, whatever the generation is, there's less interaction with people because we're more on our phones, right? We're on our phones, sure. We're in front of the TV, we're in front of our computers. And so more and more that social interaction with people truly is going to save our wellness, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we're seeing our older generation wants interaction because they're not getting it from their children. And so when we have events, we have multiple events at properties monthly. We're seeing more and more of an older generation contribute and be a part of that. I think the other part of that engagement is also online engagement, right? So whether it's a community event in person or whether it's getting them involved in a social presence, all kind of priorities for us. We want to make sure that people are committed and kind of brand awareness and brand advocates for us. So we really try to build that engagement through a solid online platform and then having social interactions and activities on the community level that really drive participation and make them part of the community. And I think Mindy did a survey kind of asking about what are they looking for when you're doing an event? You know, what are some of the trends that we're seeing that people that are successful for people and why?
Yeah. And back to that next gen study. So we did ask them about community events and their preferences. And one of the things that I want to piggyback on what you just said, Stephanie, that you guys want to provide that to your residents. This question or what I'm about to say isn't in this next gen study. But what we have found because of the prospect and the resident surveys that we do as a company at J. Turner Research is that sense of community is very important when it comes to renewal. So there's this old adage of somebody's not going to renew typically if they have a bad move-in experience or they have a bad experience with maintenance. So people think we just need to do maintenance surveys. We just need to do move-in surveys. Well, that's only part of the picture. And there's things that you can't gather from that particular survey, whether you're using a company like ours, others that are great that are out there, or just SurveyMonkey or, you know, there's still paper surveys.
Yes,
you
yes, guys. Casual asking. Hey, what do you think?
But what we have found and what the data has shown and what I always like to say is don't shoot the messenger. This is the data. I can't change the data. I can tell you opinion that and I've got plenty, as we all know in this room, but the data is the data. And so sense of community is very important. So what the owners and the operations teams on site have to do is figure out what's important to your resident
Absolutely.
Base, what's important mm-hmm. to your demographic. Mm-hmm. So we kept it very simple on the questions that we asked on the next gen study. And we wanted to piggyback on what we had asked in 2016. And so what we found based on wellness classes, holiday events, local cooking classes, activity-based, and we gave descriptions for all of these, and then not interested at all, the number one, the most interest that the majority of the group had was with the wellness classes, followed by the holiday events and pool parties, then local cooking classes, and then those activity-based. Now, clearly, the silent generation, mm-hmm. while they really love those local cooking classes and they love the wellness events, they were like, we are not having activity-based. At all. And then the Gen Z, what we really found when we dug into the data is that these were nice options, but they might attend a few of those. They want to get a little more creative, a little bit more outside the box of just the standard community events that you can do. And that makes sense, right?
Sure,
a number of these kiddos are coming from student housing. They're coming mm-hmm. from where it's just all about how much interaction can we have. Mm-hmm. But truly, at the end of the day, figure out what's important to your resident base and then provide those activities. And it's not just one type because it's not one size fits all. Mm-hmm. So you have to have an array of activities for your particular community.
Yeah, we have a brand new lease-up community that we're working on, and we do a ton of resident events. And so we have somebody that specifically targets that. And she recently did one that was a paint your pants party. And so it was blue jeans, and literally, like, they came and painted different designs on their blue jeans. And so popular, we did a paint your rock party. And then we're in a I don't say master plan community, but we've got retail, and we've got those along with the multifamily, and so mixed use kind of stuff. And they did a painting the rocks party where they all painted rocks, and then they hid them around the community area. And so they, when they found them, you could post them and then you get a prize at the thing.
Oh,
so
that's cute.
The, you know, going above and beyond just the come and have cookies and then go home, mm-hmm. you've got to give people something to talk about and something to do, because what they do if they come to your event is they come and they take a cookie and then they go home. Well, that's free food. That's not an event, right? And so finding that differential between getting engagement is what you're looking for. It's just like when you post on a social media platform, right? You post something like, hey, look at these cute kitties. But if you're not asking a question, you're not building engagement and commitment to that brand. All you're doing is giving information. And so I think as multifamily operators, it's so important that we realize our place in this, which is truly building our community. And so, you know, I tell my people all the time, I want my residents to feel guilty when they give me notice. I want them to be like, I'm so sorry, I have to move, right? And so if you think about that as you're operating your asset, you want people to be so committed to you that no matter what, you know, no matter what the negative experience they may have, maybe maintenance didn't make it to unplug their toilet right away, or maybe the door didn't close and they had struggles, or maybe they heard their neighbors. Whatever those struggles are, their commitment to you is so great that they're willing to overlook the mistakes you make, which you will, because they appreciate the brand and the community that you create. That is golden, right? Mm-hmm. Like creating that as an apartment operator is really what we need to strive for. Because the day-to-day of what we do, and, you know, we screw in a light bulb or we change something, or, you know, those are all functions of what we do, and it's what we, but that's not what we provide, right? It's people that are providing this living experience, and people release from people. And so, you know, if you can create that on your community, I think it helps your bottom line because people are renewing. It helps, you know, it lowers the amount that you have to spend on things because you're just more conscious of that. So in terms of trends for us, it's all about the customer. You know, we need to focus on what the customer needs are because the competition is so readily available. You know, there's apartments everywhere. And so finding something that really connects with people is going to be where we need to be. People are looking for that connection.
You know, I've told our listeners this before. I'm really old, and Mindy, I would tell you that the
baby boomers,
the baby boomers are the best generation. But I would, you know, when I started out in this business, I mean, we've talked about this on other shows, Stephanie. You know how things have changed, how social media, how you know online presence has made a huge difference in the industry. But when you were describing the rock painting and how they find it and then they post something and win a prize. That's tying in social media. I mean, that's tying in the technology that's available today. And I think that's so smart to be able to do that. And let's face it, years and years ago, the apartment industry had a bad reputation from the standpoint of you had no sense of neighborhood or community on a property. And now everybody is trying to do something, whether they're doing it themselves or they're bringing in a company like Apartment Life to assist with that. I just think that things have changed so much, and it's so interesting to hear all these different ideas of what people are doing.
You know, we have a company that we use called Retention Pensions.
Mm-hmm.
And so the great thing about them, they set up the party and they do everything. And we found that for us, it's a good investment because, you know, I no longer have time or the resources for my on-site people to sit and set up a party for people and entertain them. Their job should be making people comfortable, mm-hmm. signing renewals, getting interaction, not serving lemonade.
Right.
Right. And so the idea and the name pension was you're investing in your residents. And so for me, that was one of the reasons why I was like, oh, I get it. Like retention pension, you're investing in your residents. And so it's been a hugely successful for us. And it's a great partnership because it gives there are people that are in the multifamily industry. So it gives our people time to build relationships and not serve lemonade.
Yeah, and that is a great company, and love Wendy and mm-hmm. all of the folks over at Retention Pensions. And I think you make a really good point, because what I was going to say earlier, as we were talking about, things have changed from years and years ago, but what hasn't changed is there's nothing more personal than your home,
yes.
right? That's where you go home to, and you want to feel welcome. You want to know your neighbor. Most people do want to be neighborly. And because of the pressures that our employees also have, though, Stephanie, of you made a face, if you guys could see it, you know, renewals, you know, it's about the bottom line, right? Mm-hmm. The income that we have coming in, it is a business at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And our team members are focused on providing the best customer service they have and making sure that they are signing those leases, closing those leases, and closing those renewals. And sometimes it's a little bit stressful.
Yes,
and
all the time. All the time is stressful. I hear you. All the time,
though, that you can bring any type of outside company in to help, you are investing in it. But those folks are coming out They're excited. They're mm-hmm. happy. They have the right attitude for it. They don't have a thousand other things on their mind because their only thing, position to do at that party or that event is to make those residents feel welcomed and loved and that they want to be there, and you're building that sense of community. And so I would say what a great point, if anybody takes anything away from that, is to think about the stress level of the staff. Mm-hmm. How can you help them? But in turn, that's going to help your residents.
Yes.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a break again and be back with another segment of Multifamily Matters. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Tired of being burned by your carpet vendor? Nobody has you covered like Rasa Floors. They lead the industry with same-day service and cutting-edge technology, like their online ordering portal and mobile app, so you can place orders instantly. The professionals at Rasa Floors are the industry experts offering the hottest new styles of carpet and hard surfaces that will help you achieve your goals. Visit them on social media, watch their videos, and look for them at local trade shows. Rasa Floors will help you make ready your apartment homes for new residents. For more information, visit rasafloors.com.
Looking for cost savings and curb appeal? Call WaterLogic, the nation's specialist in multifamily property water management. Using interactive, smart water technology, WaterLogic's professionals can help you save up to 40% on irrigation water annually, potentially adding tens of thousands of dollars back into your budget. Call WaterLogic at 713-983-9555 for a no-cost irrigation usage analysis. Your property will look great, and you'll be a hometown hero.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic of understanding current multifamily trends. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me in the studio is longtime multifamily industry veteran Stephanie Graves, co-founder and CEO of Q10 Property Advisors, and Mindy Price, Vice President of Sales with J. Turner Research. I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. Econserve, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S., Rasa Floors, the professional flooring advisor, specializing in make-ready replacement flooring for the multifamily industry throughout Texas and Oklahoma. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile and enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. WaterLogic, the smarter way to water, providing professional irrigation and water management. And CTS, complete technology solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. Stephanie, in the last segment, we kind of ended up talking about social media and resident engagement and so forth. Let's continue a little bit with social media and what kind of trends you're seeing there.
Sure. And I think, you know, you mentioned one of your sponsors, Allegiance, and home automation. And mm-hmm. I think that that is a trend we're seeing more and more as well.
Yeah.
You know, people are asking. And I think that has to do with just... The platforms that we have as options, you know, Alexa, turn on my lights, those sorts of things, right? People are looking for that in their home. And so those are trends that we're seeing that people are asking for, wondering about, and are willing to pay for. Mm-hmm. So from a social media standpoint, you know, there's a reason why people have gone to other individuals to seek data. Right. And so in this environment that is being created, you know, people are tending to trust strangers more than they trust professionals sometimes or experts in the industry. And so finding a good social platform is important to figure out, okay, is this an advertising platform? Is this an engagement platform? How will I utilize social media to my advantage and discourage and not use it to the disadvantage? So finding a way to make that work for you is something that we're seeing in the multifamily arena a great deal.
Absolutely. And I think that there is confusion in our business. Mm-hmm. We spend so much money on marketing to attract new residents to our properties. And there are some that still believe that using Facebook or Instagram is really going to bring the traffic through the doors. Will it bring some? Yes. But to have a great social strategy is to have the resident engagement and residents involved, but it's really all about that engagement and that building community like we were talking about earlier. There's a huge difference between posting a recipe or someplace to go and eat or some type of engagement on your Facebook page, for instance, that the residents really are going to see versus having a social strategy with advertising, mm-hmm. right? And there are companies that are good at doing both. There's companies that specialize in online reputation and social engagement. And then there's those that specialize in social advertising and really bringing that traffic to the door. And there's a huge difference. And sometimes it makes sense to work with a company that focuses one area where they have that expertise because it's all about driving the prospects in. And then the other where it's about having the social engagement and managing your reputation. And they're really two very different things. And so I just wanted to bring that up. Mm-hmm. And then we just finished a study for student housing, and we asked the students, and we're constantly doing this research. We've got a ton on conventional and on student housing, but which social platforms are students mostly choosing to use? And it was Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter. Facebook for students actually has fallen off quite a bit. It was only 28% of them that were actually saying that they were using it. I do see more heavy in the conventional side where they're utilizing Facebook. But this whole thing of TikTok, you guys, mm-hmm. for students, I thought this would be much higher. It was 5%. 5% are using TikTok, but we'll see how it grows. But they're really not that involved. LinkedIn, 5%, and then other was 4%. Who knows what that other is going to be. But they're engaged. It's all about engagement versus actually bringing people through the door.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a big difference. And I think most people, when they come to us, have seen us on several platforms before they get to us. So one of the trends is information overload. Right? I mean, they're going to multiple sites, they're looking for multiple options. And so by the time they get to you, you know, they're almost equipped with these are my top 10 and this is where you rate. We have a property that's in the Montrose area. So pretty competitive area, but it's real, you know, it's competitive, but from a different standpoint because you have lots of little bitty communities everywhere. And so it's hard to get true data with those unless you're looking at individual rentals, individual sales. There's some high rises in multi-units, but in general, it's, you know, 10 units here, 12 units here, 30 units here. So they don't necessarily report like most people do, but we're seeing when we post a rent and we start to get people to come, we have multiple people that come to us with a notebook of this is what this sold for, this is what this rented for. You know, here's 15 different comps in your area, and this is the price I really want to pay. And, you know, so they're coming to you with almost more information than you have in some instances. And so information and making sure that you have a consistent message and consistent branding and an experience that's pleasurable, if you will, and that makes sense. Because you have one site that could possibly have information on it that isn't accurate, and that could affect the rest of them, right? Why is this inconsistent information? We sometimes try different specials on different websites so that we can truly see from a source perspective where we're getting things from. When they bring in the 1 month free or they bring in 2 weeks free, we know, okay, this is where they got it from. And that really helps us because people don't say, I found you on this. They say, I was on the internet.
And what they will say, though, as I found you on the internet, is they are doing their homework, as you said, mm-hmm. Especially in that Montrose area. But world, you know, globally, or really in the U.S., but, you know, looking at the U.S., your residents and prospects are going online, and they are looking at the online reputation, and that is still a huge driver in the decision to even visit a property.
Yes.
And so we've got a ton of research on online reputation. We actually own the ORA score. It's called ORA, which stands for Online Reputation Assessment, and it's actually been adopted by the industry as a standard for the way that properties evaluate their online reputation. And the reason why it's been adopted is because it's unbiased. It's like a report card. It's a score score of 0 to 100. Of course, the higher the score, the better your online reputation. The lower the score, the more work you have to do. And with 71% of renters choosing to visit a property with a higher online reputation, it's no longer just location and price and amenities. It's location, price, and those amenities they're looking for, and online reputation. And then 52% of the decision to lease is based on online reputation. And so that's huge. And so being aware of not only what's out there on the social channels, what your postings are for rent, making sure those are accurate, but also being aware of your star ratings on those review sites that are out there. So we're monitoring over 120,000 properties. Whether they're a client of J. Turner's or not, we know what's happening. We know the sites that are having the biggest impact. Google, to this day, still is the most trusted site by prospective residents. And so if somebody isn't paying attention to Google, they definitely want to pay attention to that site, as well as all of those that are showing up on that first page when you do your Google search for your property. And you would be very surprised at the ones that are just popping up that you didn't know about, that you want to make sure you're monitoring. You want to make sure that you're addressing those.
And I think so importantly, when we're looking at our online reputation, what drives those people online to review you? It's the living experience you provide, right? It's how you make them feel. Because they're not saying, oh, the bike doesn't, you know, the bike didn't work, or my closet rod fell down. They're saying the girls in the office didn't pay attention. They're saying maintenance didn't do this. They're saying, you know what I mean? They're talking about their experience, and that's what's driving them to make those reviews. So creating that good living experience just becomes so much more important. I mean, you know, that's what validates through the experience.
And here's the beautiful thing, you guys. They don't go on just to complain anymore. Mm-hmm. They don't. They will go on and they will praise you because they want other like-minded people like them, whoever they are. Everybody fits in the seven protected classes of fair housing, right?
Yes, right?
Whoever they are, they have their individual thoughts, and they want that person that's reading that review to be like them and to have their neighbors. We talked about neighborhoods earlier and building that community and that sense of community. And so don't be afraid to ask for your residents to give you a review. And then when you are creating that sense of community, like Stephanie said, she wants her residents to feel guilty about giving notice,
hey,
right?
Hey, I shouldn't have said that. Now I've released a secret.
Those are also the residents that are going to, without you really even having to ask, because they see a sign or because they're, you know, they get a quick email or text message that says, hey, please give us a review, they will do it simply because they're happy and it's easy to do it. The other side of that is when a mistake happens, because as you mentioned, in this business, mistakes will happen. Don't ask them to take that review down. You can just ask them to update it. So the prospect, that's who you're really responding to. The prospect sees that update and they go, wow, this was an issue, but they took care of it. And I like the way that they handled that.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. We're going to have to take a break and come back after these messages for our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Tired of being burned by your carpet vendor? Nobody has you covered like Rasa Floors. They lead the industry with same-day service and cutting-edge technology, like their online ordering portal and mobile app, so you can place orders instantly. The professionals at Rasa Floors are the industry experts offering the hottest new styles of carpet and hard surfaces that will help you achieve your goals. Visit them on social media, watch their videos, and look for them at local trade shows. Rasa Floors will help you make ready your apartment homes for new residents. For more information, visit rasafloors.com.
Well, we are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic of understanding current multifamily trends. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me in the studio is longtime multifamily industry veteran Stephanie Graves, co-founder and CEO of Q10 Property Advisors, and Mindy Price, Vice President of Sales with J. Turner Research. We were talking in the break about the trends when it comes to types of housing that's out there now. And I'd mentioned that I, at a national event I went to recently, that I ran into somebody who works with a company that has over, well, tens of thousands of single family homes across the country that are concentrated in specific markets that they use as rental housing. So what do you see out there, Stephanie?
Yeah, I think it's crazy. You know, we've had competition from the apartments from single family homes, certainly in the suburbs where you have, you know, multifamily properties, and then you're competing with single family homes on a, you know, on a smaller basis that are owner rentals. But I think we're seeing a shift in people building houses specifically as rentals, rather than an owner buys another house and upgrades and they save the house and they slowly build a legacy, right, of a couple properties. We're seeing major developers build houses in communities and make it a rentable community. And so as that trend becomes more popular, and as people realize that people are also are looking for individual houses rather than multifamily units, I think we're going to see those as more and more of a competition. And managing those from a multifamily aspect, it's still a multifamily, single family environment, but creating that sense of community that gauges into that, right? And price points and how it affects us. You know, some of our apartment prices are the same as single family home rentals. And as that pool of single family home rentals grows, because we're shifting from home ownership to home rental, it's certainly going to affect how we operate in the multifamily industry.
What do you see as the driving force for the single family rental boom, from the standpoint of what are the renters looking for that they don't get in a traditional multifamily environment? Is it a yard? Is it privacy, not being connected to right next door, sharing a common wall with someone? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think all of those and more. I mean, most what we're seeing, and we have a small arena of single family homes that we handle, is that they want the home, right? They want the whatever president sold it as the American dream of home ownership. They want that, but it's just so expensive, right? We're still, the disparity between the rich and the poor is getting greater, and all those struggles that we have, and getting a 20% down payment or finding some financing is harder and harder. And so they want their own space, but they can't necessarily afford it from a buying standpoint. So they also don't want to have to deal with the number of people per bedroom that some apartments mm-hmm. have. Mm-hmm. You know, they have extended family that's living with them, and they've got six people in a two bedroom, or eight people in a three bedroom. And they make that work because they've got, you know, they're making less money to be able to afford it, but they have more people that are willing to contribute. I think kids are staying home longer. And mm-hmm. so when they stay home longer, it's creating more pressure on the family to be able to house them. And I think as the aging population happens, the older families or older individuals are coming back into the house. And so in an apartment arena, sometimes that just doesn't make sense. You know, we have three bedrooms, but the majority of the market is one and two bedrooms. So how do you handle that from a multifamily perspective to be able to handle those large family sizes that we're experiencing?
Absolutely. And what's really crazy, as you guys were talking about this, because we did discuss it during the break, and the American dream was home ownership, mm-hmm. and that was years ago. And I can remember being at our Capitol conference, which is now called Advocate in Washington, D.C., right. where when we were speaking to the congressmen and women and letting them know, hey, we need your support. We need to make sure there's financing for developing these multifamily properties, because rentership is not going away. And we've never changed that stance, and it isn't.
No.
And what people have found is that homeownership isn't necessarily the American dream. Choice is mm-hmm. where you want to be, comfort. And some folks really do not want to have to take care of the lawn. They don't want to have to do their own maintenance. And so I think something that's attractive for these single family communities that are popping up is you still get the maintenance aspect of it, but you do not have to share a wall with someone. And we're seeing these pop up all over the country, these single family communities. In fact, right near where I live in Brazoria County, there is a very large development that's going up of some larger homes that are going to be single family for rent. But at the same time, there's also a big trend of these micro units. So we're talking about larger homes, but then we're also seeing, even in the Houston market, a couple of properties that are being built that are just smaller micro units. And then you're seeing that all across the country. So mm-hmm. I think, again, it goes back to having the choice and diversity and being able to choose. Do you want something that's smaller and you know, you've got your own little space, like the mini house trend mm-hmm. that was so mm-hmm. popular
sure.
for so long? And it will be interesting to see what we're talking about next year and 5 years from now and what has picked up. And I think we're going to see more single family, multifamily communities being built. So then we have to think about, well, what does that mean as far as activities, and how do we build that sense of community? And do those individuals that are renting the single family homes, do they still want the types of activities that we're doing in multifamily? And I think to a point they do, because you're building a community just like you do with your neighborhood.
Sure. Yeah. I think in town, the other struggle is, you know, just for pure population numbers, there's not enough land in the city limits to be able to handle what the population growth is going to be. And so from that standpoint, I think the single family home rentals will happen in the suburbs and will mm-hmm. happen in the areas where land is cheaper, because you can go out. But in the city where you know, people are tend to be moving, who knows, right, what happens in a year, we have to go up because we can't go out.
Yeah.
And so those smaller affordable, I say this, those smaller affordable communities that are 10 to 15 units are going to be replaced by 30 to 40 unit high rises or mm-hmm. 100 unit high rises, because there's no other place to go. So, you know, building codes are going to have to change. There's going to have to be shifts with access, you know, in these little streets where we're getting around in the city. It's difficult to be able to maneuver and have 50 people park in an area that was designed for 10.
Right.
So certainly struggles ahead. I think, you know, the sharing, the transportation sharing that we talked about earlier is going to be important with that. But we're certainly seeing population shifts, population growth, and finding a way to satisfy that from giving people an option for housing and making sure that we're satisfying the need of what our city needs is going to be important.
You know, I want to save a little time at the end of the segment to talk about something that I think is very, very interesting that the two of you are doing. But I wanted to ask, when you're talking about population growth and so forth, you know, we're coming up on we're in a census year.
Yes.
So how important is a census to the multifamily industry, and what should multifamily in people who are in the industry know about that?
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up. You know, it's a huge year. We're doing census, we're doing redistricting, we have an election year. And so involvement on the property level is really important, because, you know, information is power. And so it's hard to reach, certainly with the census data that we're looking at, it's hard to reach minorities in multiple settings, in multifamily settings. They're not responding like they need to. It's harder to get into the apartment communities to reach them. And so as apartment managers getting involved in that process, if you don't count the people that live in your city, you don't get funding that you need. And so it's only hurts us if we don't contribute and participate in that process. So getting involved, going to the census websites, figuring out what we can do to support those efforts is so important. And we play a very important role in that.
Mindy, we've got about a minute before I want to jump into this other topic, but you had mentioned that one of the things that you came back from the student housing conference was the talk about the virus that's going around now, and what impact that has or something like that could have on multifamily. Can you expand on that?
Yeah. So I was sitting around at a table and the hot topic was the coronavirus. And it was really interesting to listen to the folks that were sitting around that table that looked at it from a different perspective that I really hadn't dove into yet. And the fact that there are going to be exchange students that are not going to be able to come back. They're not going to be able to enter the country. And there is, it could be vacancy that wasn't anticipated for these student housing communities. And just in general, what is actually going to happen? Because this coronavirus is something that we've never seen before at this scale. And, you know, Wall Street's freaking out about it right now.
Right.
And so we really need to sit down and think about what can impact your life, my life, the operations of our properties, and what's happening with our individual companies. Because I think that we've scratched the surface, but it's going to look, we're going to see a different view of it in the next few months.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's something that we need to obviously be keep our eye on and other things like that, not just that particular virus. I'm sure there's going to be other things coming down the pike, down the road that we're going to have to deal with like that. I do want to take a moment and kind of change lanes here. Something that the two of you are doing, I think, is a wonderful idea, and it's called the Multifamily Immersion Cruise. Mm-hmm. And to tell our listeners about that, and I think it's fascinating.
So, you know, people want choices, they want options, and Mindy and I had been talking about this for about a year, and basically what we're doing is we're putting on a multifamily training cruise, and we've called it Multifamily Immersion Summit, and the reason why is because, you know, as we go to training on a regular basis in our cities, you know, you're disturbed by the internet, by the phone, you've got an emergency, and so we really wanted to take people away from that and immerse them in multifamily industry. It's a four-day cruise. We leave on a Monday, Monday evening, so you can go to work on Monday. We leave Monday afternoon. We have all-day training on Tuesday. We're taking a cruise ship, a Royal Caribbean cruise ship, to Cozumel, Mexico. We get off the boat on that second day, and we go to Cozumel, and we'll have a beach excursion where we'll do some like wellness sessions. You can have some beach time, but also kind of really dive into challenging yourself as an individual, do some wellness stuff. And then we'll get back on the boat, and the next day we'll do training that last day. Get to know some networking options. We'll have some supplier partners that are going to be partnering in that training. So we're doing some really fun things, and we're excited about it. It's in August, mm-hmm. and so you've got plenty of time to plan. The website is up. It's Immersion, I-M-M-E-R-S-I-O-N, immersioncruise.com. And we have all kinds of information there about it. Mindy and myself will be there, as well as some other amazing trainers that are coming on board. So we're excited. We think it's a really great opportunity to visit with each other and kind of build a really neat environment where you're away from the day-to-day operations.
And I would urge everyone to go that's interested to go to the website and to register to get more information. Yes. as it becomes available. It's something that's fascinating. I've never heard of it being done before, and I'm excited about it and excited to continue to let our listeners know about it on the show. And I would say that the two of you are nationally known speakers and educators. Being on this show is a big step down for you.
No, this is where we started.
So anyway, thank you so much for being here today. It was a great show. We're going to have you back again soon.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.